If I haven't met you yet, my name is Michael Risk, and I'm the ministry apprentice here. And I'll be preaching for the next 2 weeks, as Campbell is this week here preaching in Stanley, and then for the rest of the week we'll be on holiday. And over the next 2 weeks, we will do a mini-series on a collection of verses from Hebrews chapter 10. This week we'll be looking at verses 11 to 18, and then the following week we'll look at verses 19 and 25. But before we get into today's passage, let's open up in prayer, shall we? Our Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that as we come to your word, Lord, that you would be preparing our hearts and minds to receive it. Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit will be working in our lives and teaching us today from your word. Lord, I pray that you will be with me. Lord, help me to speak clearly and help me to speak powerfully. And Lord, I pray that you will remind each of us the valuable message of Hebrews chapter 10, verses 11 to 18. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I wonder, as a Christian, is it normal to doubt or to be afraid? To ever ask the question, am I actually saved? To start thinking, am I really a true blue, born again Christian? Do you ever have doubts? Do you ever ask the question, am I actually saved? I know sometimes I can get these doubts when I start thinking the expectations I should have of myself. That as a Christian, I need to hate my sin and pursue holiness. I can start questioning myself, am I actually saved? I know every day, in a small or big way, I choose to gratify myself rather than to glorify God. I don't hate my sin as I ought to. I don't pursue holiness as I should do. And as I say this, I feel that I'm not alone, that there are many here who feel like this. How can we be right before God when we see our sin and we don't hate it? And thus we ask ourselves, are we saved? In our passage today from Hebrews chapter 10, it teaches us and reminds us that we can be right before God because Jesus made us right before the Father. How has Christ done this? Hebrews chapter 10, verses 11 to 18 answers this with 3 points. Our first point, Christ has made a finished sacrifice for your sins. Our second point, Christ is making you holy. And our third point, Christ has forgotten your sins. As I was studying the book of Hebrews, I learned that this book is best understood as a single sermon. And it possibly originally was a single sermon, an exhortation, which was then converted into a letter. The book of Hebrews is a letter written most likely to the Christian Jews, which encouraged them to persevere in the faith. Please have your Bibles open to our passage as we now explore our 3 points. And looking at our first point, that Christ has made a finished sacrifice for your sins. Let's read together verses 11 to 12. Day after day, every priest stands and performs his religious duties. Again and again, he offers the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But when this priest had offered for all time one sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. From these verses, we are given an illustration of the role of the priest. In the book of Exodus, we are told that the priests had to make many sacrifices for the sins of the Israelites. This included regular daily sacrifices on the altar. A 1-year-old lamb was sacrificed in the morning, and another lamb was sacrificed at twilight. And by doing so, the Lord would consecrate and sanctify the temple as well as the Israelites. Can we imagine the priests of the Old Testament? Day after day, standing at the altar, always making sacrifices. Can you imagine this? Imagine the sounds of goats, lambs, and bulls. the various smells wafting in the air, seeing the animals killed and cut up, seeing the blood and guts of the animals. It would have been messy work. It would have been hard work. And it would have been a never-ending task. Day after day, the priest stands and performs his religious duties. Again and again, he offers the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. Sacrifices that could never take away sins. Why? Why could these sacrifices never take away sins? Hebrews chapter 10, verse 4 tells us, because it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. But these sacrifices were a shadow of the good things to come. Christ, who was to be the sacrifice which could take away sin. In verse 12, we are told of a priest that had offered for one time one sacrifice for sins. Jesus took on the role of the great high priest and offered himself as the sacrifice for sins. Jesus makes this once and for all sacrifice for sins. Having a look at our passage, we can see that there is quite a contrast between Jesus, the great high priest, and the priests of the Old Testament. Day after day, the priest would offer the same sacrifices, which could never take away sins. But Jesus makes one sacrifice for all time for the forgiveness of sins. I'm sure that we've all heard how Jesus offered himself up as the sacrifice for sins. That Jesus was arrested. He was judged before Pilate. He was sentenced to be crucified. He was beaten. He was spat on. And he was mocked. He had a crown of thorns placed on his head. He was made to carry his wooden cross to Golgotha, where he was to be crucified. Nails were driven into his hands and to his feet, and he was hung up on that cross to die. Jesus offered himself on the cross for the forgiveness of sins. And as he was on the cross, in the Gospel of John, we are told that Jesus' final words, before he bowed his head and gave up his spirit, Jesus said, "It is finished. It is finished. It is done." The sacrifices for sins were complete with his one and perfect sacrifice. Do you see the contrast? Day after day, the priests offer sacrifices. It's never ending. But Jesus offers one sacrifice. It is finished. And he sits. And here again we see another contrast. Unlike the priests who are always standing, always offering sacrifices, we see here Jesus made one sacrifice and he sits. Christ demonstrates by sitting at the right hand of the Father that the sacrifices for sins was accomplished and finished with his death on the cross. Brothers and sisters, do you see how Jesus has made us right before the Father? He became a once and for all perfect sacrifice for sin. Jesus did the work necessary for us to be right with God. What a wonderful gift. What a wonderful message. That there is nothing else that we need to do because Jesus did the work necessary for us to be right with God. So why do I, when I look at my life, beat myself up? Why do you, when you look at your life, beat yourself up? Why do we beat ourselves up when we think that we aren't hating sin as we ought to? Why do we beat ourselves up when we think we aren't pursuing holiness as we should do? Why do we do this? Perhaps because we don't fully grasp that the work is finished. Brothers and sisters, we need to trust that our salvation is secure in Christ. We need to rest in the knowledge that Christ's sacrifice on the cross is all we need for the forgiveness of sins and for us to be right with God. Rest in the knowledge that Christ's sacrifice on the cross is all that we need to be right with God. Place your confidence in Christ that the work is finished and complete. But some here may ask, if the work is complete, then why do I keep sinning? If his work is finished, why don't I hate my sin as I ought to? Why don't I pursue holiness as I should do? You may ask, did Jesus' finished work apply to me? How do I know that Jesus' sacrifice was done for me? How do I know that Jesus offered himself up for my sins? How can I know that I'm saved? How can I know that I'm right before God, even when I sin every day? To answer these queries, we come to our second point. Christ is making you holy. Reading from verses 13 to 16. Since that time, he waits for his enemies to be made his footstool. Because by one sacrifice, he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. The Holy Spirit also testifies to us about this. First, he says, this is the covenant I will make with them after that time, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their hearts and I will write them on their minds. We learned in our first point that Christ has done away with sin once and for all. He sits at the right hand of the Father and he now waits. He waits for his enemies to be made his footstool till the day that when all will submit and recognize the authority of Christ. Jesus is waiting for his return, when he will judge the world, when the devil will be vanquished, when sin and death are done away with, and when every knee shall bow down and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. The question then is, what is Christ doing until he returns? Those he has made perfect, he is making holy. Christ is making you holy. But why do those that have been made perfect need to be made holy? I think most in our society believe that when they die, they will go to a better place. Most consider that they will go to heaven, that heaven is just one big party where all their friends are. Yet those that consider heaven to be like this are wrong. Heaven is a holy place where those that dwell there are holy. They have been made holy by the work of Christ. How many here could say that they are perfect and without sin? I don't think anyone here can make such a bold statement that they are perfect and without sin. I know I'm not. By his once and for all perfect sacrifice, he made you perfect. And if we look again, our passage implies that he is also making us perfect, because Christ is making you holy. Those Christ has saved, he is making holy. In the English Standard Version, it uses the word sanctified, that Jesus is sanctifying those he has saved. J.C. Ryle, in his book Holiness, gives a great explanation for sanctification. That sanctification is the inward work which the Lord Jesus Christ works in a man by the Holy Ghost. When he calls him to be a true believer, he not only washes him from his sins in his own blood, but he also separates him from his natural love of sin and the world, puts a new principle in his heart, and makes him practically godly in life. It's like the Holy Spirit is instructing us and giving us the means to live a life having been saved by Christ. When we get back into the gym after many months or possible years of neglect, we may get a personal trainer. They will put us on the right path. They give us a routine, a diet plan, and the skills needed to be able to get that gym body so many of us desire. The Holy Spirit does that in our lives. He instructs us to live a holy and godly life. But how does this happen? How does the Holy Spirit instruct us? By the power of the Holy Spirit, Christ dwells in our hearts. Christ puts God's law on our hearts and he writes it on our minds. Jesus gives us a deeper understanding of our sins. Jesus gives us a deeper understanding of his death on the cross. And Jesus gives us a deeper understanding of how to live as a believer, that we would be living a life that seeks holiness. What does this look like? The Bible is full of practical examples, and one example is seen in repentance. It is seeing your sin, turning away from your sin, and then pursuing holiness. An example of this is the issue of pornography. It is first being convicted through God's word that pornography is a harmful and dangerous sin. It is then destroying and turning away from the desires of watching pornography, then pursuing holiness. No longer objectifying men and women, but seeing them as made in the image of God. Brothers and sisters, Jesus has put his law in your heart, and he has written it on your mind. When you've been saved by Christ, by his once and for all perfect sacrifice, Christ will then be transforming you through the rebirth and renewal of the Holy Spirit. It's an extraordinary thing that Christ dies for our sin, and he is now working in our lives. He is making us holy. So the question must then be asked, do you see this happening in your life? Is the Holy Spirit, through God's law, exposing your sin? Are you then hating your sin? Are you repenting of your sin? Are you desiring holiness? Cornerstone, do you see Christ making you holy? Do you hate your sin? Do you desire to glorify God? Has God been sanctifying you? When the Holy Spirit is prompting you through God's law and revealing to you the love you have for your sins, the gratification of self or the desires of worldly pleasure, pray that the Holy Spirit will convict you. Convict you of the devastation that your sin is causing, the harm it causes to your relationship with God. Pray that the Holy Spirit will transform you and make you holy. Be made holy by Christ. But again, some here may doubt and ask, but when I die and I stand before God the Father, how do I know that he won't see me as a sinner, someone who still sinned even on the day of death? You say, even though Christ died for my sins and has been transforming me by the power of the Holy Spirit, won't the Father, who is holy, 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 look at me and deem me unrighteous? I know my sin. And I know that when I sin, I actively say that I despise the Lord. I know when I sin, it is an unrighteous and unholy thing. When I stand before the Father, how could he not see me as unworthy? Could I really be seen as perfect before the Father? We come now to our third point. Christ has forgotten your sins. Reading from verses 17 to 18. Then he adds, their sins and lawless acts I will remember no more. And where these have been forgiven, there is no longer any sacrifices for sin. From verses 17 to 18, we may ask the question, how? How could God forgive me for my sins when I sinned even unto the day of death? How could he not remember my sins? It's God. He knows everything. There is an image that comes to my mind that when I die, I will be judged before the Father. I imagine entering a huge courtroom, walking down a huge aisle, approaching the bench to stand before the judge. As I walk, I can't help but think that all my shortcomings, my sins, will be racing through my mind. Knowing that the Father, when he sees me, he would see me as guilty. That when I speak, my tongue would condemn me as guilty. But the thing is, what I know and what comforts me, the Father wouldn't see me. He wouldn't see me standing in front of him as I am now. The Bible tells me that he would see Christ. There are many verses in the Bible which illustrate that Christ's death does not just negate the consequences of sin, but Christ's death also cloaks us in his righteousness. For example, 2 Corinthians 5:21. God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. When Christ dies for the forgiveness of sins, he makes holy those he has saved. He sanctifies the believer. But when Christ died for you, he also justified you. What does it mean to be justified? Justified is to be declared righteous, to be made right before God. That we have, in some way, been made holy and blameless before the Father. How? How has Christ declared us righteous? Christ declared us righteous with his own righteousness. That when you and I stand before the Father, knowing that Christ has died for our sins, the Father won't see us, but he would see the righteousness, faithfulness, and holiness of Christ. In this image that I have in my head, that when I stand before the Father, he doesn't see me at all, but sees Jesus. The Father sees the righteousness of Jesus. When the Father looks at me, he will actually be looking at Jesus. What a comfort that we are justified as righteous by Jesus' perfect sacrifice. It's a wonderful message. Jesus Christ, the great high priest, offered himself up as the sacrifice for sins. He has dealt with the consequences of sin once and for all. Those he has then died for, he washes and renews with the Holy Spirit, sanctifying them, making them holy by putting his law on their hearts and writing his law on their minds. He imputes his righteousness unto them so that the Father doesn't see their sin, but the faithfulness and holiness of Christ. What a great reminder that this passage teaches us, that Christ has made us completely right before the Father. Brothers and sisters, when we have those seasons, when we start doubting or questioning whether we are saved, when we have those moments when we beat ourselves up because we still actively sin and we don't pursue holiness, be reminded with the message of Hebrews chapter 10, verses 11 to 18, that Jesus has made us right before the Father. Rest in the knowledge that Christ offered himself once and for all for the forgiveness of sin. We don't need to do anything more to be right with God. We just need to trust and place our confidence in Christ. Also, if you are seeing your sin, hating your sin, and desiring holiness, rest in the knowledge that Christ is making you holy, that Jesus is sanctifying you. And finally, rest in the knowledge that Christ has forgotten your sins, that he has justified you and made you righteous with his own righteousness. Cornerstone. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 11 to 18. It's the gospel message. It's the good news. These 8 verses remind us that our salvation and the gift of eternal life has been given to us by Christ, a free gift from God, done through the once and for all perfect sacrifice of Christ. What a wonderful message that Jesus has made us right before the Father. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much for this wonderful reminder that what Jesus has done, that he has done the work necessary for us to be completely right before you. Thank you, Lord, that the work is finished with Jesus. And Lord, I pray now that you would be working in our lives. Lord, make us holy. Lord, I pray that you would reveal to us any unrepentant sin. Lord, I pray that you would convict us. Lord, I pray that you would help us to destroy sin in our life and that we would pursue holiness. Lord, thank you so much that we have had our sins completely forgiven in Jesus. And thank you that we are also cloaked in his righteousness. Because of him, you have forgotten our sins. Lord, thank you so much for this good gift that you have given us and for the good news that we have in Jesus. It's in his name we pray. Amen.